So we're continuing in Hakdama Yud. This is again page Kufnun Zayin, in the paragraph Hine. So last time we were talking about just the idea of Keser, how Keser is this higher area of the Spheros, and the different Oros that come down through Chesed and through Gura. We spoke about the Shai Oros, the 310 lights. So now he's talking about the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachamim, which of course is very apropos for Chodesh Elul. Even though we as Ashkenazim haven't yet started saying Slichos, we're going to get familiar with the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachamim. So the very, very deep ideas in the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachamim. So he begins as follows. Hine b'sviras keser nimtzam Yud Gimel Midos Shirachamim. Hidden in keser are the 13 Midos Arachamim. Sh'amim Hashem is Baruch L'Moshe Beinu, that Moshe Beinu was taught from Hashem himself, achas shviras haluchos. After the breaking of the luchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that the way to achieve Kapara is the 13 Midos HaRachamim. V'heim Kael, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, V'yemes, Notzer Chesed, La'afim, Notzer Alvin, V'fesh, V'chata, V'nake. These are 13 Midos HaRachamim. And in terms of the calculation, if you look, we're not going to look inside, but the footnote Tezayin, the bottom right, there is a machlokes how to calculate the 13. We take it for granted that 13 are, but if you look, we said Karachim, it doesn't say Hashem Hashem. We start saying Hashem Hashem, Karachim Vachanim. Part of the calculation that appears inside the text of the Sifsei Chen, it doesn't include Hashem Hashem. So there's a debate, and the Arizal and the Gura talk about how you calculate the 13, but whatever the 13 are, there are 13 of them. And these 13, he continues to explain, V'heim Nikron Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna Kadisha. They're called the 13 tikkunim, the 13 fixes of the dikna. The dikna is a zakan, a beard, the dalin zayin switch in Aramaic often. The 13 areas of the beard. Kisham nimtzan yid gimel tzinoros hashefa. There in the beard, there are 13 pipes of shefa, har nirmazim bisaros hazakan, that are hinted, alluded to by the beard. Hema hayud gimel midos shirachim. Now this is very, very deep. And the beard, there are actually 13 parts of the face. Obviously, a lot more than 13 hairs I have. In one spot, I've got 13 hairs. But the 13 sections of the beard, how they're all correlated. And it's discussed in the Svarim which of the 13 are. And the Svarim also talk about how when man was created, there are different oros that come from the eyes and from the ears and from the nose and from the mouth. All these and from the hair. And the beard has the very powerful 13 midos that come through the beard hair. That's what's discussed, whatever that means. If you take a look at footnote Tezvav, he explains that these lights, these oros, nizgalu dafka bizman namuch. These 13 attributes were really revealed only at the darkest and lowest of times in Jewish history. And mashin nizgalu elu hamidos, el yonos, the fact that these lights, these midos, were only revealed to us, dafka b'yamim namuchin achar achet, only in the lowest of times after sin, such as after the breaking of the luchos. What's pshat here? So Bnei Saskar has a beautiful idea, very connected to Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Di bizmani bein hamitzarim, the 3 weeks, asher shchina kadosha hi behester panim kiviyachol. We know that during the 3 weeks is the time of the year where Kadosh Baruch Hu, the shchina, is the most hidden. Nitzan oros hagdolos kedushos biyosa. That's when you dafka find the highest kedusha, the highest form of light. Rak sham biskasya. Only there, where it's most hidden, is when it's most revealed. Why? Ki chol davar yakar v'chashav. Anything that the more precious something is, yeshal makifin u'mechitos lastira me'ayin kol. Right, you're driving by, a beautiful area, go to back Lawrence, you see some nice houses, but then you see a house that you can't see. You just see walls, you just see fence, and you know it goes back really far, but you have no idea what's inside. Those are the most hush of houses. That which is most hidden, that which is most blocked, is covering the most hidden ideas. So in the darkest of times, where the Shekhinah is most hidden, that's because there's the most powerful pack, the most powerful punch that's hidden behind this. The Lachain is Galu Eila Yud Gimel Midos Bizman Hester Panim. That's why Dafka, during the 3 weeks, during Shviras Aluchos, the breaking of the Aluchos, is when we finally learn about the Yud Gimel Midos. Acha Shviras Aluchos Becheda Ego. Shahayisab Yom Yud Zayim Matamas. Shavasa Matamas is when the Luchos were broken. That's when the Egel happened. Umi Yud Zayim Matamas, Ad Rosh Chodesh Av, Yesh Yud Gimel Yamim. There are 13 days precisely from Yud Zayim Tamas to the completion of a 30-day month of Tamas, 13 days, 17 to 30 is 13, that leads us to Rosh Chodesh Av. Ubahem Ganos Umachus Elo Yud Gimel Midos Shirachim. And in those days is where the Yud Gimel Midos are hidden. Neged HaYud Gimel Yomim Shal Chodesh Tamas. Ukimokein, in a similar fashion, HaMerachet Meraglim Shebachu B'chia Shachinam B'Leil Tisha B'Av, where we cried crying for nothing, for no reason, on Leil Tisha B'Av. Bahem Ganos Umachus Elo Tes Midos, the nine Midos of the Zer Nagida Tes Yomim Shal Chodesh Av. It's something else. We're going to see in just a few moments. There's another nine midos that corresponding to the 9 days of the tishu, of 9 days. We'll see that in just a few moments. And the reason why this connects to Rosh Hashanah is because Rosh Hashanah is where the pasuk says, "Bekesel Yom Chagenu." Bekesel Yom Chagenu. Bekesel means hidden. Bekesel Yom Chagenu. It's a chag that's on the day that's hidden. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, "Well, which chag? Ezu chag be Yom Kesel? Where do we have a holiday that's hidden?" And the Gemara says, because normally on a Yontif, the moon, which is pretty much our compass, as Klal Yisrael, is waxing and waning, as ups and downs. So usually the 15th of Tishrei, the 15th of Nisan, or the middle of the month, where it's a full moon. The moon is completely revealed. But then you have Shavuos, which is on the, Vav and Zayin, which is a half moon. Yom Kippur is the 10th day, which is almost a full moon. Rosh Hashanah is the only one that's on the first day of a month, on Rosh Chodesh, which is the moon is barely visible. It's Bekesa, says the one, it's hidden. The Zdavka day that's hidden, Bekesa Yom Chagenu, is where the Yud Gimel Midas Shirachmim begin in its greatest form. And we slowly build up to Yom Kippur, where it begins to show more light and more light. We need to crack that open on the day that's most hidden. So that's the idea. I'm actually going to be speaking about this probably Rosh Hashanah night. But this connects to an inner, just because I was just working on this recently. There's a very strange minhag that the Baal Tokeya does when it's saying the bracha on the shofar. Much of you notice this, only if you're up there, if you're really close to you, pay attention. But he strangely covers up the shofar when he says the bracha. It's a weird thing. Everything else, the bracha, you have the mitzvah right, tefillin, it's right, ready to go. Say the bracha and you tighten it. Lulav's ready to go, which is right there. You say the bracha and you just flip it over. But shofar, we cover it up. We don't leave the tefillin in the tefillin bag. And the idea is because it's a Bekes Yom Chagenu. We want Dafka to be a day that's hidden. And then you say the bracha, then you expose the power of the shofar. And there's a lot more to that, but that's the inin of exposing the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachma. Now, let's continue in the footnotes here. Go to Yud Zayin now, Os Yud Zayin. We had said before that the Yud Gimel Midos Shirachmim correspond to the 13 hairs of the beard, or 13 sections. Now, this next piece, don't be alarmed by this. Exactly. He's just good. Okay.
Well, he's
13. So writes the footnote here. Isser Gilua Chazak on the prohibition of cutting the beard. The Bnei Sascha writes in Chodesh Elul, Kasef. Yadu, it's known that Yud Gimel Midos Shirachamim Heim Nikram Kiviyachol Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna Kadisha. They're called the 13 affixes of the holy beard. Vilazeh Nitzaveinu Shlo Legalei Achazakin. And this is why we're forbidden from cutting the beard. This is just interesting stam, because oftentimes we do mitzvahs, we never know the deeper meaning of mitzvahs. This is just telling us what's behind the issur of cutting the beard. Now we could really appreciate what's going on. I actually just received in the mail a couple weeks ago, there's a guy, a Chabadster, who wrote a sefer and continues to write certain editions on the issur of cutting the beard. He just sent me another edition of his Indian of cutting beards.
It's a thick one, right?
Yeah, it's a very thick one. Yeah, so
massive.
I just got it recently, another kuntres like this, an additional one to it. I think his daughter lives here in the neighborhood, so once in a while he comes through and he pulls out like a pamphlet from his and gives it to me. So this, like, that's his inyan. So he says, Lazen, Stavenu Shlola Galea Chazak, and this is why it's us to cut one's beard. Uvimagit Taluma Mosif Bnei Sascha B'Lashon HaKodesh. Chalila lahashkes hazaken afilo aydei sam. It's also to cut the beard even with some type of medication and some type of potion that's going to remove it without putting a razor. Who iser gadol asher lo yeshuar? It's a iser that's incredibly usher without any measure. V'kamosh kasev hara arizal betame amitzos likute Torah parsha kedoshim roy laadam shlo yakesh shum seyar klam mizikma. You shouldn't remove any beard, any hair. I should have skipped this guy. Sorry. Kiem tinoras hashefa. This is where the shefa comes from. Just to make you guys feel a little bit better. There was a great. A tzaddik, his name was Rav Ari Leib Malin, Rav Leib Malin he's called. He's learning the yeshiva, it's a Lamed Shas Sefer. It's a two-volume thing, it's a beautiful sefer. And he lived in America, he didn't have a beard. And he once went to visit the Satmar Rebbe, and when the Satmar Rebbe found out who he was, he said, come in right away, he like, cut the line. And the Hasid, I don't know Yiddish, it's not going to sound as good. But the Hasidim were very shocked that the guy without the beard goes to see the Satmar Rebbe. So after he left, they said to the Satmar Rebbe, he said, what's pshat? The guy doesn't have a beard. He's such a chashuv person. I don't understand. He's shown such kavod. So he says, he's got more of a beard than you guys have. He was saying the essence of Rebbe Leib Malin was that he was an incredible Talmud Chacham. So you could have a beard and not really have a beard. And you could not have a beard and really have a beard. Now, obviously, there's the physical aspect is very, very essential, but the pneumius is if a person is a Talmud Chacham, a person puts the Melusin. So yes, it's encouraged to have beards, but there are other calculations as well, and spouses, how you look, business and whatnot. So you don't have to do it just yet. But think about it. Okay. Ubisarusa del Sata Isar Uvdula Ela. When you do something down in this world, right? So it sounds so gashmius to grow a beard. How's that going to affect my ability to understand, my ability to grow? Because there's a concept that Besarusa de la Sata, when you do something down below here, a little something, it actually incites something above. Kishanachnu nosim al gufeinu yudgimel tikunei dikna b'mitzvos av yisbarach shemo hazayanachnu ma'orin yudgimel midos shirachmim leila. When we do 13 midos of the beer, whatever that means, it inspires 13 midos of rachmim from above. And this is what the Bnei Saskar writes, not what I'm writing. And okay, we can accept the next part of things. Another cute little thing on the left column, still in the footnotes. I'm sorry, there's so much to talk about here. We're still on page Kufnun Tes. The outer paragraph will begin Silsul Hazakan Misai Lahavin B'Torah. The twirling the beard, pulling the beard to understand Torah. My wife commented to me the other day that I've been doing this more and more. So it's because I'm not understanding as much anymore. So this is helping me out. I'm trying. So he explains. This explains the hatam leminhag Yisrael Torah. Right? A strange thing. Kishadam osik b'Torah, guy's busy learning. Who miskasha b'ezadavar, he's having difficulty understanding something. Who misalsa mahapich b'zekano b'mashababo. He twirls his beard, he strokes his beard. Kiazakan romez la hayudgim amidos shirachmim. It reminds us of the yudgim amidos. V'yadua de hayudgim amidos shatar nidreshes mechabne neger yudgim amidos shirachmim. If he doesn't understand anything, he's not able to understand what he's trying to get to. Now, we should also have in mind that the Yudgim Midos Sherachmim align with the Yudgim Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahen. They're 13 Midos. So, the first time I came across it, I may have mentioned this in the past, when I was learning, you know, in Yeshiva for many years and learning Lamdas and never knew what any Pnimius was. And Yosef Engel, comes from the Kutzker dynasty. I forget exactly the relationship. So I'm learning a piece. We're learning Baba Kama that year in Yeshiva, and the Indian of Ein Onshin Min Adin, that you can't just because a lesser avera has a punishment, you can't say, oh, Kavachomer, the worse avera is a punishment. So for example, the Gemara says there's an Isserayos of a basbit of a granddaughter. So the Gemara says, oh, so certainly a daughter should be chayiv in the same punishment. The Gemara says, even though it's obvious that a daughter is more of an araya erva than a granddaughter, ain't on shem adin. So there are many reasons why. And then after Rav Yosef Engel lists the three basic reasons in halacha why we don't say ain't on shem adin, he says, also because a kal v'chomer is midas chesed, and onesh is midas din, and therefore the two can't connect. Gzer shava is midas din, and Kal Chomer is a Midas Chesed, and the two don't stim. So what in the world is going on here? Chesed and Din and Halacha, I didn't know what I was reading about. But the truth is, the 13 Midas Shiatorin and Jeshuban, Kal Chomer, Gzer Shavas, line up to Kerachim, Vachan, and Echabayim. And there's a lot of deep things here. So when a person is trying to understand something, you're asking for rachamim, yugim midas rachamim, to understand the yugim midas shetor nidreshes b'hem. That's what's going on here. V'nei mimamash shabizakana, when you move and stroke your beard, ubisarusa de lasata, when you're trying to inspire something from below, is ara uv de leil, it's creating something above. It generates some help from above to help you understand. Umisorin yugim midas rachamim, umashbin le yugim midas shetor nidreshes b'hem. Umushban el ha'adam, and now it affects you, it helps you understand. Vaz mizgal el ha'adavar ha'nel mita, then it helps you explain that which is hidden. Now, if you tell a regular person on the street, a guy in the yeshiva, come on, stroking the beard is going to help you understand. This certainly requires emun u'bitachon, as does all the learning of pnimis. You have to have that leap of faith. If you don't believe in it, it's not worth having that conversation. I won't engage in conversation with a person on these topics if they don't buy into it. It's not worth it. Me trying to explain to them, if they don't believe it, there's no point in talking about this with them. Once you have that, you know, leap of faith, so then you could understand how this works, because the world of Pnimis is a whole, it's outside of logic. It's not about understanding. A person zocha to learning Pnimis HaTorah, not because he's smart, not because he's a Talmud Chacham, not because he went to Harvard or Yale or he got 1600 in SATs. It's because the person has a certain Tiyata Deshmaya, that you believe in it, you trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's going to grant you a gift, and that's how it comes to a person. Okay, let's go further back inside the main text. We're back in Kuf Nun Ches. Hayud Gimel Midos, that paragraph. These 13 Midos Halalu Nikru Gam B'Shem Yud Gimel Tikune Aruch. We said above it's called Tikune Dikna Kadisha, the 13 Tikunim of the beard, but they also call it 13 Tikune of the Aruch. Aruch Kihema, the word Aruch means to elongate. They are the pipes, vakelim, and the vessels, lashbia lahavir sheferav me'elu lesata. They are the conduit of the ore that comes from the brain. It passes through the beard. Now, how that works, it's in a spiritual way, I don't fully grasp. There's some who talk about it, as I mentioned, that there's oros that come from the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth and the beard. So they're oroch. They somehow elongate the shefa. Ubesfiras teferes. Hanikra is their ampin. Now we're getting back to the sphere of Tiferes. So we mentioned before, they remember their different personalities, if you will, of each of the different spheros. So the Tiferes and the whole grouping of Chesed, Gvur Tiferes, Netach, Hod, Yesod is all one entity. Tiferes is the nucleus, which is called the Tiferes. That's called the Zer Anpin. That's like the young boy. Just to remind yourselves, the Chachma is the father, the Bina is the mother, the Zer Anpin, that unit, is the boy, and the Malchus Abam is the young girl. That's the young boy, young girl meeting each other, like dating, and going off to be a father and a mother. So that's called the Zer Anpin. And Nimtzam Tes Tikunim. In the Zer Anpin, you have 9 Tikunim. She'amra Moshe Beinu Lav HaShalom Achash Lichas Meraglim. This is what we referred to before in the footnotes. Then after the sending the Meraglim and that whole Chet, so then Moshe Beinu had to invoke 9 Midos, 9 Tikunim, which are listed in Parsha Shlach, Vehem. Erech, Apayim, Evchesed, Nosei, Oven, Vafesh, V'Nakei, Poked, Oven, Ovos, Albonim, Al Shilishim, Al Revim. These are the 19 attributes he tapped into. V'heim, Nikraim, Tes, Tikunim, Dezera, Anpin. These are called the 9 attributes of the Zera Anpin, that part, that personality. U'bizman, Shemis, Orin, Hayugim, Midos, Sherachimim, B'mekomom, Baruch, Anpin, Heim, Mir, Lamata, Bezera. Okay, So he's saying when the moment a person taps into the 30 midas of rachmim in the proper place, so then they actually are able to channel down to the zeramp in the lower area these other 9 midos. He doesn't really explain much more than that. So it trickles through the zeramp and eventually to the world. That's all he lays out there. Not much more to say on this that I'm familiar with. Okay. So that really completes Hakdama Yud. Should we begin Hakdama Yud Aleph now? Up to you. Yeah. Okay. We'll start. We'll touch upon it. Okay. Hakdama Yud Aleph now, he touches upon Das. Now Das, those who begin to learn this Svarim, and they, you know, Shari Ora is the Hakdama, as I mentioned, one of the Hakdamas to learning. Those who want to learn on their own, the Shari Ora is a a pretty basic. It's one of the Rishonim who wrote it, but it's a simpler understanding of the different spheros and just applications of the spheros and how the spheros work to a certain extent. Das is always the tricky one, because Das is not really a sphero. At Chabad is called Chachma Bina Das. Now, Das is essential, but it's not a sphero. So it's a very tricky thing. And when you begin to learn, they tell you Das is just confusing. Don't try to wrap your head around it just yet. So what is Das? So let's understand a little bit about Das, what he's going to teach us about it. So Gdama Yudalf, he writes, Sphiras HaDas is Bo Yisbayar, Mohus Sphiras HaDas. Let's understand the essence of Das. She'enu Sphira b'fnei atzma. It's not a sphere in its own right. Rak mimutzas ben hamochin v'amidos. It's rather a effusion between the different parts of the brain and the different midos. Because Das, you remember how the image works. I'm not sure if it's in your mind now, but you should get it in your mind. The Kesser's on top, from your perspective, Chachma Bina, and then Das is in the center. So Das bridges Chachma and Bina together. It's right in between. But also, not only does it bridge those two horizontally, it also bridges vertically from Kesser, Chachma Bina, to Chesed Gvur, to that which is below it. But we call the three tops Kechab. Kechab stands for Kesser, Chachma Bina. Those are the Mochen, those are the brains. And the seven Midos are called Midos. It's Mochen and Midos. The Midos are Chesed, Gvur, and so on. So Das serves as a transition between Chachma and Bina, father and mother, and also between the Mochen and the below part to the seven Midos. So it's that transition. So he says, V'yeshba itra de chasadim, V'itra de gvuras. It's the crown of chesed, the crown of gvur, which we'll get to in the side of the piece itself. V'emasai maskirin sphiris keser. When do we invoke keser? V'emasai maskirin b'mkoma sphiris adas. When do we invoke das in place of keser? So this is what's going to be spoken of. So let's just read at least the first paragraph here. Isa b'sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, of course, is also a very important sefer in Kabbalah. It's extremely hard to understand. You really read the Ramban al Torah, and he tells you pshat, and he says something strange, and he says, Hamevin Yavin, those who understand, and he just leaves you off with like three cryptic words in Zehu. So Sefer Yetzirah is written in a very cryptic way, because the Kabbalah was meant to be hidden. Even things that we could all understand now, it was initially very hidden. So Sefer Yetzirah was written in a very hidden way. You cannot understand pshat if you just look it, open it up. It won't make any sense to any of us. Unless you have a pshat of the Ravid and the Gra and others to explain what's going on. So in Sefer Yetzirah, which by the way dates back to parts of which go back to Avraham Avinu, the Gemaras in Sanhedrin talk about Sefer Yetzirah, how the Erev Shabbos, there are two great Amoraim who would use the Sefer Yetzirah and create a animal to eat every Shabbos. So Friday they get together, they learn Sefer Yetzirah, put together some osios, and then boom, it'd be like a beautiful calf, and they'd shecht that calf and eat it. We may not even shecht it, they just created it. In a fascinating way, that Sefer Yetzirah is used as a model for lab-grown meat nowadays. Question being, is lab-grown meat considered fleishiks or not fleishiks? So they look to the Sefer Yetzirah, some poskim, and say, well, what was the status of Sefer Yetzirah meat? That wasn't born, it was just created from Sefer Yetzirah. Is that fleishiks, not fleishiks? So Sefer Yetzirah is something that's discussed in the Gemara. And so what is in Sefer Yetzirah? So the very, very opening of Sefer Yetzirah, he writes here in the beginning, Isa b'Sefer Yetzirah, Eser Sfiros, and there are 10 Sfiros. Eser v'Lotesha, Eser v'Echadasar. So we all know how to count. We know 10 means 10, doesn't mean 9, and 10 doesn't mean 11. So what do you mean 10 not 9, 10 not 11? Hakavana is, She'es Sfiros heim rak elu ha'eser Sfiros ha'niskar le'el. Only the 10 as we know. V'yafshi yesh od sfir acharis, even though there is another one, actually there is an 11th one, Hanikras Das, it's called Das, im kol zeh, eno nechsheves bein shar sfiros. It's not counted as part of the other spheros. So what he's trying to explain here is that 9, not 11, or 10, not 11, that Das is kind of a hybrid. And that's the confusing piece that the sphere you see, that Sefer Yetzirah is referring to, that Das is not a 10th one, but it's somewhat as a quasi-11th sphere. So we'll stop here. We'll take a break now. But just if you want to look in the footnote, Aleph, there's a Gra and a Rizal who talk about how exactly one counts Das and Kesser. But we'll, Amir Hashem, next week, we'll continue to appreciate this Indian of Das.